Our next speaker is Dr. Jaime Golfin, is that pronounced correctly? Who is professor at the College of Public Health and the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, developing community-oriented primary care teaching and practice. He is a former member of the School of Public Health and Community Medicine of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, where he was director of the Community-Oriented Primary Care Community Health Center, director of the Community-Oriented Primary Care Teaching Programs of the school, and academic director of the MPH program. And by the way, that is the institution where the community-oriented primary care approach was initially developed. In 2008 and 2009, he was the director of the COPC MPH program at the George Washington University. Dr. Golfin has been very active in developing COPC around the world, including countries in Europe, Latin America, and South America, as well as the U.S. So he has a broad range of experience to bring to us today, talking about promoting healthy communities using COPC.
So we are going to share with you the integrating of public health and medicine in the training of the public health workforce in a new MPH, community-oriented primary care, I was told, in the College of Public Health of the University of Nebraska Medical Center. All the authors are part of, we are part of the University of Nebraska. Four of us are from the College of Public Health, one from the Physician Assistant College, and one from the Nursing College. No relationship to this close background. We are talking about health and service issues, capacity building issues, and academic framework issues. So as a background of the creation and development of this new MPH, we know about the growing disparities in health status require addressing social, biological, environmental, and other determinants at the individual and community level, and we give emphasis to both of them together. But also the knowing about the growing crisis due to the shortage and of public health workforce. But we insist that it's not only the shortage of a workforce, the crisis, but it's also the lack of appropriate training for those that are already public health workforce. The public primary care workforce needing training in community health, community medicine, together with that, the public health workforce competence to work in the interface of primary care and community. Related to the background in capacity building, we insist in knowing and taking care of the community perspective in primary care. Primary care automatically doesn't have this community perspective. It's based on the demand. Second is the integration of primary care or medicine, it depends how you see that, and public health as being one, and stressing the promotion and prevention in primary care. That also is not an automatic one all over the world. In certain places, yes, many places not. Related to the academic framework, this is a new college, 3.5, 4 years at the University of Nebraska. The University of Nebraska has a stated explicit commitment to community health in teaching and practice and research, and there is in the university a faculty with expertise in community-oriented primary care, in teaching, in practice, and research in different countries and in different health systems. So the question is, why a concentration on COPC? To prepare health professional workforce in primary care and public health with competences to develop, to engage, and to manage community orientation of health services. But also, simultaneously, to raise awareness and enhance skills related to the integration of community-oriented practice within the public health workforce in Nebraska and in the United States. To facilitate also the academic support for the application of COPC to providers of primary care in the region. We know that one of the elements in the application of COPC that is necessary or is essential is to have academic support. So, COPC we consider as integration of clinical individual care and public health in a defined community. A sense of COPC can be described as taking responsibility of the community to identify health needs and intervention in natural history of prioritized health problems in which the community has an active a participative role. What are the principles of COPC? First, the responsibility for the health of a defined total population. So we know what is the target, and we know who are in the denominator, an essential element in the measurement of this approach throughout the application. The care is based on the identified health need at the population level. It's based not only on the demand, it's not only for users, also for non-users, it's not only for sick persons, also for the healthy people. But we know that there are many problems, or there are many health needs, but there are not so much resources. We require, as part of the principle, to have a prioritization process by the community together by the health team. Whether they are done by the two together, it depends on each case in particular. The program of intervention is covering all the stages of the health illness continuum of the selected condition in the prioritized. And this includes the promotion, prevention, diagnosis, treatment, rehabilitation in the social, biological, and mental sphere, and community involvement. Here is a big difference between the four principles and the last one. The first depend on the health service, depend on the health team. The community involvement depends on the community, whether the community is willing and ready to be part of the service, to contribute to the service. And that requires a mutual understanding and respect between the team and the community. The cycle, the process, the methodological framework is defined by this cycle. We start by defining the community. We characterize in the sense where is the community located, what are the services, what are the health problems. We prioritize. We have a detailed problem assessment or diagnosis, intervention, evaluation, reassessment, and we go back. It's not a linear kind of program, it's a continuous going to new programs according to the situation. So the COPC MPH program at the University of Nebraska includes the MPH core course of any School of Public Health in the United States that includes 21 credits, then the 12 credits of the COPC concentration, the service learning, the capstone experience as we learned from previous presentations, 6 credits, 6 electives, total 45. What are the core courses of the COPC concentration? One, the first one, the basic one, the prerequisite to continue in the concentration is principles and practice of community-oriented primary care. The second one is opportunities and challenges in the applicability of COPC. The third, health information and surveillance for public health practice. And fourth, health disparities and health equity. We will see in detail the two first. The principle and practice, the idea is to have hands-on on the approach. So the students to learn about feature, function, and role of primary care, principles and methodological framework of the approach, the development of each one of the steps that we saw previously in the cycle, the emphasis on the integration of health services and on community participation, the discussion and application of the model and the effectiveness, dissemination, and worldwide application, that we know that it is like that. And always we say that the idea is whoever wants to apply, it should adopt the principle, but adapt the method to the real situation in each particular case. So what is the assignment for the student in this core course? To formulate a proposal of a COPC program in primary care setting of a community in Nebraska, based on data from the community with a specific consideration to its feasibility and practicability. The present course that we have now, the students are taking care of a community that belongs to the community health center, the total community, and eventually at the end of the course, the student will present this not only to the faculty, also to the community health center, and eventually it might be applied, as happened to us in many different places. The second course is the hands-out on the applicability, so opportunities and challenges. First, the meaning and implication of opportunities and challenges. Then, COPC and Community Health Center, like the federal qualified health center that we consider as an opportunity. But we consider COPC for underserved, undocumented, and migrant population as a challenge that the student needs to face, to know, and to see how to overcome that. COPC or healthcare for rural population might be an opportunity or might be a challenge. It depends on each particular situation. The workforce in primary care, the availability and the training. The healthcare reform and community-oriented primary care that we think is very, it could be very much related. and the integration of community-oriented primary care and also community-oriented public health. So what are the competences related to knowledge, skills, and attitudes in community dimension of in healthcare in general, the role of primary care in the healthcare system, community orientation of health services, the COPC principles and methods, the health needs at population level, the prioritization of health problems at the community level, detailed assessment at the community, the development, the knowing of how, the skills to develop the COPC program, about the practice, and about dissemination of COPC. So what are the opportunities that we think that are currently in our situation to develop COPC? We are in the middle of a new health reform environment, and experience in other countries shows us that when there is this type of environment, it facilitates the creation and the development of this type of approach. But also the increased use of information technology that makes much easier to the specific methodological problem that we have to find out about problems in a community, about the community, about the living situation of the community, about where the community lives. So this makes the process much easier than in the past. But also the increased community involvement in health and a rise in initiatives for integration of clinical medicine and public health. And the stronger to have a stronger primary care infrastructure, that more and more international studies are showing that when there is a stronger primary care infrastructure, the health status of that particular population is much better, it costs less, and it has more satisfaction by the community and by the health team. Now, this is a new concentration, so it's very important for us, and this has been suggested already, and we have in front of us a plan for monitoring of the new COPC MPH program. And I need to say that there are only two COPC MPH programs in the United States. One is the one in George Washington University, as was mentioned, in which we were involved, and this is another one now in Nebraska. So we will like to know what is the relevance of the prerequisite that we establish, whether they are correct or not, they are appropriate, whether they are needed, and whether they are effective. But also, what kind of visibility of the concentration regarding recruitment and application? What is the concentration ability to adjust with changing needs of the United States Health Service towards a community orientation? This could be wishful thinking. I don't know. But it might be. Maybe. And also, we would like to have a follow-up of the COPC MPH alumni regarding their practice of COPC. So what are the conclusions? In general terms, this is a new academic program in the training of public health workforce with competences in the integration of medicine and public health with a community orientation. So it's not only medicine and public health, is to have the community orientation as one whole. To be in the middle of an environment of healthcare reform, and it depends what is done with that. A COPC that rationalizes, organizes, systematizes, and economizes services of primary care in the community, and then the community-oriented primary care and its relation with what we call community-oriented public health. Finally, what are the programs that we have now at the College of Public Health in the University of Nebraska? We have a COPC MPH program that is already running. We have a COPC certificate program, so this is for 18 credits, while the MPH is 45 as usual. We have a dual degree with physician assistant MPH COPC program. We are on the process to have a dual degree of nursing with the College of Nursing MPH COPC program. And we have a dual degree that is also present in other universities, MD, MPH, but here we add the component of COPC. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, I have to tell you, within my experience at APHA, this is one of the very few times the panelists have actually kept to the time limits they were given. It's amazing. So we do have a significant amount of time left for questions, 15 to 20 minutes. We are recording the session, so this gets a little awkward. It would be good when the questions come if you could come to the microphone and just briefly repeat the question and answer it so that the recording is as complete as we can manage it. And I can't pass the microphone to you because there are two, one for recording and one for amplification. So I'll need to ask you to come here. But with that, let me just open the floor to questions. Any of you have questions that you can direct generally or perhaps better specifically to one of our panelists? Well, I might start with a question for Dr. Ospedales. I'm not sure I understand exactly who the students are that you're targeting with your program. What are the numbers and types of people who you're actually trying to train?
The students who are being targeted, people who are in service, working in ministries of health in countries of Latin America and the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting together a course that's going to cost you $30,000 or $50,000, usually we write to the director of health services and ask them to nominate someone with these characteristics that would benefit from this kind of course.
I see. Okay, very good.
Can I ask a question since I'm here?
Just wait.
Okay, wait my turn.
Yeah, we've had really a broad range of presentations, right, from basic public health student in a university all the way up to international programs, varieties of students in between. Certainly the Nebraska experience has a wide range of health professionals that you're trying to draw into those programs. Sounds a lot like the Cuban health system to me. So, what else might you have? Yes?
Dr. You mentioned that there's a lack of libraries as one of the barriers to this training taking place in the central point. Are you addressing this in any way?
Lack of libraries as a barrier to training, and how do we address it? Well, we have one of the things we have at PAHO is a program, a revolving textbook program. It's called PATEX, so that's one way of helping students to get books. Another way is through the virtual public health campus and through our public health observatory that has a lot of materials on it. But for some places, it still remains a challenge that folks don't have basic materials for training or to follow up on things that might be taught.
Ellen, yes.
I'd like to ask Ms. Ramirez about you said the students go and find their preceptors. How do you approve or disapprove of that program? How does that work?
So they are required to find their host organization. Generally, we would ask them who their preceptor is, and it's essentially if the person is willing. I mean, we do question a little if we feel like the organization might have some issues. But generally, we go with them on it. If they know what they want to do there, if they know that they're going to benefit from the organization and the preceptor is willing to do it, we move forward. Does that address your question?
Do you have a set of standards that a preceptor must meet?
So that's where we're moving toward. We don't have that at this point. There are definitely a set of preceptors that we use more frequently than others, partly because their organizations often host practicum students, but we don't, and that's a good point to bring up. That's a good point. Yeah, we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so some more standards and some more agreements to address the risks that they might be exposed to, which have come up in conversation but haven't moved beyond that. Yeah.
Yes. Say something about the question.
Oh, yes. I will repeat the question into the recording. Okay.
Mine is about, how did you guys decide on 300 hours?
It is, and to be honest, so the 300-hour question, I was not there for that part. We do require more hours than many of the other departments, and I think part of it is because we are community health sciences, and it does take time to build those relationships to have it be meaningful. But to be honest, it that decision was made before I became staff, so I don't know the history behind it. Yes, I think I'm not sure if we're the only department, but I know some of the departments have a 200-hour. Ours is 300.
Does the accrediting body say anything to you about what's required?
My understanding is it's 200 hours required, but we're free to require more.
Yes, ma'am.
This is for Dr. Guthrie. In your community-oriented primary care model, I was wondering if you had thought about the health literacy aspect of the primary care setting and perhaps using it as an opportunity to create veteran questions of the patient or to facilitate communication between the patient and provider.
I think that the response might be twofold. One, as a mother, I understand what you say, and it's not specifically in the kind of principle that we mentioned, but by the way that we say that the community is part of the assessment, is part of the prioritization, and eventually is part of the intervention, the issue of health literacy come out. I said again, it's not specifically established there. Regarding the academic environment, means in the teaching, this is also considered. Whether it's considered with enough emphasis or not, I'm not able to say yet on that. But I understand what you say, and it's something to take into account. But the whole thing is born in the relationship between the health team and the community. And when I say the community, there is a question here. It's not to work in the community, but to work with the community. And that makes the difference. And there, this kind of thing appear and should be solved.
Well, then I'm just by follow up. You might bring into your organization your library. The health science library might have a role in developing health literacy in your setting through resources from the National Library of Medicine, like Medline Plus.
Okay, we are related to the library of the University of Nebraska, but on top of that, the College of Public Health, that is a new college that I said, it has a person that is in charge of health literacy as part of the faculty, and will come part of that, but not yet.
I wanted to follow up with Dr. Goffin also. Just for my own knowledge, as your definition of COPC, you made the point very specifically about identified community. And so my question is just simply, how do you define community? Is it geographical? Is it socioeconomic or based on demographics? What is the definition of community for your purposes?
It depends on which time of the history you refer to. The COPC was born in South Africa by Professor Sidney Clark and Emily Clark, two family physicians, and they decided to do in a rural area geographically. When they emigrated to Jerusalem, where we were there, and we were part of that, that also was geographically coincide with the neighborhood. But slowly, things are changing in such a way that there is not any more that kind of easy way to define geographically. So the way to define is according to what is the type of care that the service is providing. If they have a family practice with registered members, whether they are living anywhere, doesn't matter, they become the community. So it's a problem. It's not the idea that we have always a community from the sociological point of view. It's a community for that specific purpose of the program, of a community health program. But if we have a school, all of the children in the school are part of the program. We have a factory, all the workers in the factory are part of the program. So the all, this makes the give the emphasis. But is definition is given in each situation.
The way you explain COPC, it sounds to me especially a program that really appeals to return Peace Corps volunteers. And I was just curious to know whether either George Washington or Senator Nebraska offers fellowships.
No. It's related to people who are willing to be part of medicine, but with this approach of health to the total community. Here and there, and when we were in George Washington, some of the students were related in their practicum or their capstone experience in the Peace Corps, but I wouldn't put any relationship between. It might be, but it's not there for. No,
I said. Yeah, I did, but it was for. I'm sorry, your name from South Carolina. I just was curious when you were doing your assessment, or I guess it's an ongoing process, why you didn't include clinician level providers, doctors, dentists, veterinarians, and so on, EOs, whatever. I was just curious about that. It didn't seem like it was included in your project.
You asked if. If we're not going to include, or if we're, why didn't we identify the primary care people within the health services? They will actually be a part of the workforce assessment, and they will complete the workforce assessment questionnaire when we administer it in January. They are part of the health services branch within the South Carolina Department of Health. These 11 discipline areas make up the majority of health services and environmental health within South Carolina, and nursing is included in that. Unfortunately, the number of doctors and so forth that are within health services are very few right now. I'm talking a handful of people. Part of what we're hoping to do also is identify specific numbers with this assessment. But they will take part in the assessment, and they will be encouraged to to participate in trainings after we're through with the assessment. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Lydia, I just want to congratulate you for recognizing, you know, the bottom third of the workforce, the people on the front line answering the questions, working in the WIC clinic. And, you know, those kind of, you know, people have probably have a high school degree and speak Spanish, and how important they are to communicating with, you know, your clients. And I think they get overlooked in any kind of training. And we went through a similar process in Illinois several years ago, but you have a much better strategic approach than.
Well, I appreciate the acknowledgement. And honestly, you know, the acknowledgement of the lower third, the support staff, the administrative support, actually came from within the health department themselves. You know, so we're responding to their recognition of this large group of people that will be the primary people that interact with clients, with customers, with that come into the health department. So I acknowledge the health department for acknowledging them, and so. But the people are have a lower educational level. You'd be surprised too, though, that have a number of bachelor's. There are large, several people that have bachelor's degrees and masters that are still in that front line. You know, because it suits their lifestyle at the moment. But you know, They're very important. Thank you.
Minute or two before six. It's time to go have supper. Thank you all so much for your attention.